Hello and welcome, everybody, to today's TOC podcast. I'm Joe Weichert, chair of O'Reilly's Tools of Change Conference. I'd like to remind you that you can see all the upcoming TOC products and events on our homepage, which is at O'Reilly.com/TOC. Now, today's podcast features Brian Fling. Brian is the founder of a mobile app design and development company called PinchZoom. He's developed an HTML5 publishing framework called PinchZoom Press that I'd like the TOC audience to hear more about. Brian, welcome to this TOC podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So, Brian, can you give us a brief overview of what PinchZoom Press is all about?
Yeah, it's and we're really excited about it. It started actually a year ago, and we had this crazy idea. It said, well, could we make a tablet application that kind of works like almost like a book or a magazine? And using the exact same code, using HTML5, can we make that appropriate for the context? So if you look at that code on a phone, then you see almost like a mobile web app, and if you look at it on a desktop, then you get a desktop site. And when we started, we didn't even know if that was possible, to basically move horizontally on one on a tablet, vertically on the other, and then also still be able to scale up to desktop browser. So we found out that we could make it happen, and it was really exciting, and it really started getting our imagination going. So we've spent a year kind of working on this and refining it and making it better, and actually starting to evolve it into a full-blown product. So how it is today is we have three different pieces of technology. So there is the there is a native application for iOS devices, primarily the iPad, and that allows the user to be able to have article controls and browse through any sort of publication, book, magazine, whatever. And then we have a bunch of layout code, which is all done in HTML5, CSS, and JavaScript. And then and now the most recent feature is we've actually tied all that into a content management system. So publishers can go in and they can create basically their own magazines, their own books, and publish those out to the App Store almost completely independently of an iOS developer or designer.
Okay. And, you know, right now in the publishing world, the two platforms, if you will, or specs that are getting the most buzz are EPUB3 and HTML5. And I'm always kind of curious, you've built this around HTML5. Why did you choose that as opposed to, say, EPUB?
So, and that's a great question. I know mobile web and I know HTML5, and I wasn't as familiar with EPUB. And one of the reasons why, again, kind of going back to when we first started with this experiment of, well, if I can make it work on the tablet, then it should work on these other devices too. And so once I publish that content, that content is still true and still valid in all the other channels. It just needs to be formatted somewhat differently. And with EPUB, that still feels pretty limited and it still requires like, it requires a reader of some kind and, it doesn't fit kind of the nature of like kind of this platform agnostic World Wide Web that we all know and love, I know there's some momentum there, but that was kind of the first main principle. And the second one I have to selfishly admit is because I'm a designer and I actually really enjoy creating designs with CSS, and so we had done like a couple of iPad magazines natively. And so it's really, really difficult, hard work to do to be able to meet the editors or creative directors' demands with native code. Just takes a ton of time. So I kept looking at these minor design tweaks and saying, well, I could do that in CSS in like a couple minutes. So that was kind of the other thing is, let's give editors and publishers a lot more design flexibility. This, they're going to have, if they're going to need to convert spreads down into a single screen, they want to maintain kind of their story and their editorial flair and feeling. And when you just go to native, that's totally possible, but it's a lot of work. And so HTML5 just makes it a little bit easier and gives you a lot more flexibility.
So how important do you feel HTML5 is for publishers? Do you feel like they should be spending as much time investing and experimenting with that as, let's say, EPUB?
My recommendation to people is to not focus on the end client. I don't think it's about EPUB, and I don't think it's about HTML5. It's about understanding how your content is managed. It's understanding how you think of your content in a very mixed and diverse platform. People are going to want to read content everywhere, anything that has a screen, and as well as in traditional printed form as well. So that means understanding how to how to make sure your data moves across. So a perfect example is one of the first magazines that we did. It was a printed magazine. They'd never published a web page at all, and we were then doing an iPad application with Press. And so when they cut and pasted all the content over, none of the bold, none of the emphasis, none of that had come over. So then we then transfer that over into HTML. We have to then add an M or a strong to that word in order to translate over. So when they got the first review, they're like, there's no emphasis like anywhere in this magazine. And I was like, well, it didn't come over. Like, how are we supposed to know? And the only way we could have, we had to ship it without any strongs or any emphasis, because the only way we could have done it is to literally go on page by page comparing the printed source material to the digital version. So that was one of the reasons why we actually added the content management system, is to be able to do that in kind of a platform agnostic way. So if people want to publish to EPUB, then they can, using the same kind of core content, or they can publish to HTML5, or they can publish natively, or they can publish to PDF. I think that's where my recommendation for publishers is right now, is think more about your data and how that's managed, and less about the individual clients, because there will be a lot more coming, as we've seen just in the last couple of months with the Kindle Fire and the Nook tablet and all these others. There's going to be many, many devices like this.
Yeah, and it does seem to me that HTML would be a logical platform around which to build, just because of the portability and so forth. But then, when I think about comparing that, let's say, to a native app, where, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm under the impression that if you build something in HTML5, the benefit, obviously, is that portability across platforms. But one of the things you give up along the way is not being able to target the various components on a device, let's say sensors on an iPhone, for example. Is that something that's kind of, unavailable?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a challenge. I mean, I think that, so for example, with HTML5, to create the assumed interaction that I swipe on a tablet to go from page to page, it's one of the core interactions of iOS. To be able to do that requires fairly complex JavaScript libraries, and there's only a handful of them out there. They're very difficult to create from scratch. And they're really, really tricky to implement right. So, for example, if you've got, if you're talking about a book that has, hundreds of pages, that metaphor clearly doesn't work. And so there are some significant limits of what HTML5 can do right now. And to your point, yes, there are lots of other things you can do. You can add the sensors. There's a lot of value that mobile has. But right now, what we're trying to find, and why we went with Press, we did a hybrid container, is because we look for opportunities to have a really optimized and smooth experience. The end user doesn't care if we wrote it natively or whether we wrote it in HTML5. They just want to read great content. So it's our job to make that technology as transparent and visible as possible. So we kind of take the approach is we will use whatever technology we can do in order to deliver that. But then also that's kind of giving the customer that initial experience, but then there's the long-term value that they have as well. So you need to be able to keep that up to date. And that's where you want to look at technology and say, okay, well, can we use certain things, like, for example, great feature of iOS 5 is the newsstand feature. And so once that came out, we immediately added that support into Press, that you can then go into the content management system, you can do an update, and then that can all get pushed out basically immediately to the user's device. And that's just something you can't do with a web page, or you can do with HTML5. So we've been looking at more at kind of the real specific, you know, just simple delivery mechanisms right now, and really trying to leverage native for that. We have plans in the roadmap to add other things like Facebook integration and photos, like being able to do some sort of a more interesting experience when you see, like, a lot of magazines have just, you know, amazing photography, and being able to save that and share it, do something with that asset. And that's something that can much easily be done with the native controls than it can with HTML5. But for right now, it's mostly about creating a really awesome reading experience.
Yeah. So what do you think the future is for platform-specific apps as opposed to agnostic ones that are, you know, built, let's say, with HTML? Just, you hear all the horror stories of companies that have invested so much in developing for a particular platform, and of course the cost, there's cost overrun, unexpected issues, and so forth, and at the end of the day, you're left with only servicing one platform. Maybe that's iOS or Android, but not both. So what do you think the future is for that?
I think apps are here to stay. I think that it's going to be... I think that we will see, and to caveat that, I have supported and been a part of every single mobile web revolution. Anytime we said, let's bring the web to mobile devices, let's get rid of apps, you know, I'm on my fourth revolution that the web is going to revolutionize mobile. I saw a really interesting talk. It was the CEO of Evernote, and he was talking about creating, like, long-term strategies. And he was talking about, as long as Moore's Law is true, then we will always have something to do in technology, right? And I kind of look at the app ecosystem right now really is a strong supporter of Moore's Law. That as the technology is getting better and it's getting smaller, then that means that you're always going to have a native ecosystem that is probably the best possible experience for that platform. And it has to get even better in order to support the web, because that's another layer. You know, a web browser is an app too, right? So you can't have a web browser without an app ecosystem. So I think that I think we will continue to kind of see apps kind of dominate. I think we will see... as we see more devices, more convergent devices, there will always be an app platform for that, and we will want to be there. But I think in the background, we will have the fundamental standards of the web, and there will always be a web browser there. So I think that it will always be a place for web content on these devices too. But I just don't see it going away anytime soon. I mean, we saw the webOS offering from Palm and then later HP. It was really good idea, really strong execution, not necessarily the best hardware. It needed hardware that was too expensive to be able to run that really well. I think we're seeing it with a lot of the tablets right now. Again, they can do one or two things really well, but is it an all-round device that can also deliver a really amazing web experience too? They just don't have the horsepower in order to maintain the price. So, eventually I think we'll get there, but maybe not. And, you know, it was a couple years ago that I had to really take a hard look. And part of it was the initial development, last year when I was sitting here and I was trying to figure out these problems, and I was like, the W3C does not have a standard for this. I am in completely foreign territory right now. I have no support. As far as when I Google, there's no answers out there, and I have to crowdsource, like, my bugs. And it shouldn't take me a year to have to build a magazine using web technologies, but it did, right? So I think that until we start to see that that timeline kind of shrink down, there's always going to be a place for native tech.
Yeah, I'm afraid your last answer is probably not what most publishers want to hear, because, you know, we come from this world of simplicity, right? Before digital, it was all print, you know, so it was just one platform. If that's really
right,
platform.
Right.
And so we're looking for, at some point, to get, you know, whether it's Mobi, it's EPUB, it's PDF, all these different flavors today on HTML5. At one point, is this going to kind of simplify down? And it's really tough to swallow, not only having to deliver on all those platforms, but also keeping up with them, right?
Right, right. So there's an amazing presentation from someone at NPR, and they taught, and there's a couple blog posts, I can't remember which site it was, but that talks about NPR's infrastructure that they had to create in order to deliver a multi-platform experience, where they have all these different member stations, and you can see, like, the stack, there's all these diagrams of all this content adaptations kind of occurring in order to deliver to, you know, radio players, to, you know, mobile devices, and both text and audio and video and the whole thing. And it is quite elaborate, and it's pretty impressive that they were able to put something like that in place. And I mean, they must have already been working on it before the iPhone. And we're seeing more and more, not just with publishers, but of companies of all shapes and sizes, that we're seeing this need to really think in this cross-platform way, that it's not about the end client that your customer is going to use. It's about how you manage your data and how you you think about your content in a way that maybe you've never thought about it before. I think publishers are in a good place because they're really good at understanding good content, right? What I think is really exciting right now is when you have content people that are coming to the table with technologists, and they're coming to the table with designers, and then we all take that something out there to customers. And that's where we're starting to see this next evolution, some really amazing things start to happen.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, let's shift back to talking more about Pinch Zoom Press here.
Yeah.
I want to hear about the pricing model, and also how are final products submitted to the App Store, for example?
So the workflow is that we set a customer up, and we're still in private beta right now, but we set a customer up, and they can have multiple publications, and every publication can have an issue, and then they can then create an article by article issue. We've mostly focused on magazines, but it could work for pretty much anyone. And then we also give them the control to change layouts. So we have a bunch of different stock layouts that we call style guide. And then you can say, so on the first page of the article, we're going to have this layout, and the second page, we're going to have, you know, something completely different. Somewhat similar to like an InDesign workflow. We've tried really hard to kind of make sure that's still just very web-based. It's all done through a web browser. And then once they have that, then we're able to create a container, and so we have a kind of a stock container. You need Xcode right now in order to do the build. We're looking at doing automated builds, but for now, a developer with an Apple App Store account opens up the Xcode project, and then they can then import all the content from the server. It actually, how we're doing it is we're downloading all the content directly into the app, so then it can all be offline. So it downloads it, and then you can test it, and then once it's tested and you're happy with the magazine, then you submit it through Xcode and through the App Store distribution model. So we've been looking at PhoneGap Build and a few other solutions to be able to do like the automated builds. Right now, there's a heavy amount of QA that's still involved. So we've been working a lot on web preview, making sure that when a publisher or editor is actually adding the content, they're seeing almost exactly what it will look like in the iPad. They'll see that in a web browser, so they can do all their proofreading, and they can make sure all the layouts are interpreted correctly and whatnot. So we've been spending a lot of time working on that and making sure that works really well, to just limit the amount of device time. So if we can get to a point where a magazine can be checked on a web browser and we have absolutely no errors happening back and forth, then I think we can go to automated deployment. But right now, browsers are different. Like the browsers in for different versions of iOS are slightly different, and they don't always match up to the desktop browser. So there's a few quirks that can occur. So we just need to make sure those are correct. So as far as pricing model, we've been evaluating the pricing model and really trying to understand, because we want to be as hands off in the publishing process as possible. So we are talking about open sourcing, like the layout code, so the HTML5 layout code, And we'll most likely open source the container as well, and we will only license access to the CMS, which will most likely be on a monthly basis. We haven't confirmed the pricing yet, but my goal is to make it as cheap as possible. I know that most publishers don't have huge budgets, and I know that this is a big challenge. So what we're trying to do is provide a solution that's going to work for the majority of publishers that we can offer to them at a very, very low price. So stay tuned. We hope we'll have something early next year.
So who's the vendor of record then? Is it PitchZoom or is it the publisher as far as Apple's concerned? And who gets the reports and so forth?
So it would be the publisher.
Okay.
So our goal is to provide them with the tools and then they can then publish. We've talked about PitchZoom being a publisher or PitchZoom brand being a publisher and having people have so instead of creating style guides for people or going through that process, we'd have some stock style guides, and then people would be able to select that, go in, create a publication, and then we could have almost like a Flipboard like ecosystem. We've talked about it, and I think that it's an interesting idea, but right now I'd really like to get publishers going first before we start becoming a publisher ourselves.
Now it makes sense. Well, congratulations on the launch of Princeton.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
Princeton Press, Brian, and just thanks again for being part of this podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.